On the Dorabeck Insider.
Gene Dodaro is the Comptroller General at GAO. There's good news out there in this year's high-risk list.
DOD security clearances and the 2010 census. Now, the lesson learned out of both of these areas that have come off the list is that high-level management attention by executive branch officials at very senior levels and sustained congressional oversight have paid off.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Dorabeck Insider.
Check your thrift savings plan numbers every day at federalnewsradio.com. Find out how your funds closed and how they're doing for the year. It's all right there on our homepage, federalnewsradio.com.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark AmTower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. AmTower Off-Center with your host, Mark AmTower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark AmTower. I have two guests today. My first guest is Dr. Roy Hinton, who is the Associate Dean of Executive Programs at the School of Management at George Mason University. Roy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. Pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to speak with you again. We've been meeting with some regularity recently, and we'll get into that in a little while. But tell us a little bit about the School of Management at George Mason. First, give us a little background on Roy Hinton.
I'm Associate Dean here of Executive Programs, and I've spent most of my career in higher education, although I also had founded and operated a couple of small technology services firms over the years as well. I first moved to the Virginia area about 5.5 years ago when I joined George Mason University.
Where were you prior to that?
I was in Chicago. Was working for an internet education startup called UNext, and then I also was an adjunct professor at Loyola University in Chicago.
Okay, well, there's a Loyola University over in Maryland, too.
There is. Yes.
Probably familiar with that.
I am.
What was UNet?
UNext. It was a group of professors, from economists primarily from University of Chicago, that had made this commitment. They wanted to bring the online MBA, and they called it an Ivy League MBA, to the masses. And it was really early in the online business. They invested multi-millions of dollars. I think they were ahead of the market. It eventually failed, and several universities picked up the pieces of their technology. But it was an interesting idea. They were collaborating with five universities, Stanford, Columbia, Carnegie, London School of Economics, and University of Chicago. So they were drawing faculty from those five schools and building a curriculum.
There's some brain trust for you.
It was. They just essentially were spending so much money to develop those courses, and people weren't ready to buy online. If they were doing it today, I think it would be a different story.
Man, if you could line up those schools today, you would have a killer.
It would. You would.
But, you know, that was really ahead of the curve because very few people back then knew Phoenix, and now Phoenix is, you know, pervasive.
Absolutely.
So, man, a pioneer.
Yeah.
Learn something new about you every time we talk. So give us some ideas or give us an idea of the overview of the programs, the breadth and depth of the programs you offer through the School of Management, including the executive programs.
Okay, thank you. Well, you probably know George Mason is now the largest of the public universities in Virginia, the largest university in Virginia. And our business school, we have about 33,000, over 33,000 students on campus. And our business school serves about 4,500 of those students. So around 4,000 are in our undergraduate programs and 500 in our graduate programs. The 4,000 in our undergraduate programs have five possible majors: marketing, management, accounting, finance, or information systems. And we also have a minor at the undergraduate business level that's very popular. In graduate programs, we have our full-time MBA, a part-time MBA, Master of Science in Accounting, and then in, we have Executive Programs, and that's the area that I'm most responsible for. The executive degrees we offer is an Executive MBA, and that program is delivered at CIT at near Dulles Airport. We also have a Master of Science in Technology Management that we deliver on Saturdays in the in our new conference center on campus, the Mason Inn, which is a spectacular new facility.
I've been there. It's a wonderful facility.
Yeah, it's really been a provided many opportunities for us to work with the business, government, NGO communities here on a continuing education basis.
Well, the day I was there, there must have been about six or seven different programs going on. We had a small meeting room off to one side, and there was a tremendous amount of activity, so the word must be getting out. And that place is less than a year old, right?
It is. We opened in July, formal opening. So a little over six, 8 months now, I guess, coming up on 8 months that it's been open. And the word is beginning to get out. It's just been terrific.
Okay. Anything else on the executive programs?
Well, we have a new program, a Master of Science in the Management of Secure Information Systems.
That's hot.
It is. And we had a number of requests from the contracting community and from the government sector for education in this area, and particularly a degree. And it's a unique degree in that it blends technology, management, and public policy. So this is a partnership among the three of the professional schools on campus, the School of Management, School of Public Policy, and School of IT, Information Technology and Engineering, the Bolgeno School. We're excited about it. It's been through the entire process of approvals on campus. It's now being reviewed by the State Council of Higher Education, and we expect to get a go-ahead on that in about 4 weeks.
No, I missed the front end, or simply don't recall the front end. Is that a master's program?
It is. It's a Master of Science.
Okay. Very, very cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't look at any of the government pubs without reading about security at some level. So that should be extremely hot, especially the way you're melding the three disciplines there.
I think so, too. It'll be about half technology, about 40% management, and about 10% public policy content. It'll be also a Saturday program, and it's 14 months, beginning to end.
Now, you mentioned earlier you have a part-time and a full-time MBA. Explain the difference between those for me, please.
The part-time MBA, students take typically two classes a semester. They go in the evenings. We have a few Saturday classes, but not many. And it takes about 36 months for those students to graduate. They're working full-time. They're probably in their mid to late 20s, generally, and decided to come back for the business degree. The full-time program are students that are just that. They're full-time students. They're here on campus. It's two academic years, and they complete the MBA.
Cool. Now, a couple of months back, one of your adjunct professors in marketing approached you with an idea for a new program to address an issue that, oddly enough, given the size of this particular market, has not really been addressed at this level before. Kevin Young came to you and talked to you about doing a program for sales, marketing, business development, and he actually started off with how do you manage a government business?
He did. Can I tell you just my
Please.
Own personal experience, a
yeah.
little background here
yeah.
before this happened? I moved here from Chicago 5.5 years ago. And in Chicago, it's an incredibly robust business-to-business and business-to-consumer marketplace. And as an educator there, and particularly higher education and executive education, I've developed some understanding of that B2B and B2C marketplace and how to approach them for designing and delivering learning experiences. In Washington, D.C., and when I moved to Fairfax County, it occurred to me after being here not very long that this is really a different environment. for businesses. There's this B2G component, business to government, tends to dominate. And it changes, you have to shift your way of thinking to be part of that, participate in it. And frankly, you know, in the 5 years I've been here, I've learned more about it, but I'm still realize there's a lot more to understand.
Oh, I understand one of your new friends gave you a couple of books about that, too. So
that's right, absolutely, and I appreciate that very much. Your books have been incredibly, incredibly helpful. And so we see a number of, we have a lot of technology companies that are involved at the school, either through engineering or management or both, and many of those are government contractors, and they've engaged us in conversations. They've asked about programs in this area and what can we do specifically that targets government acquisitions and selling to the government, contracting with the government. We already do some things in program and project management.
Well, there you go.
We have a wide range of students participating in those.
Okay. Well, my guest right now is Dr. Roy Hinton. He's the Associate Dean of the School of Management at George Mason University. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the new program available at the School of Management at George Mason University. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Middle school friends. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. Who a middle schooler's friends are can affect how the student does in school. Researchers saw the evidence in data on grades and friends in more than 1,250 students who were followed from elementary into middle school or junior high. Maria Lynn Veroneau of the University of Oregon says students with friends who respect rules did better on grades. And she says,
starting to have friends who engage in problem behaviors might have negative consequences on their academic achievement throughout middle school.
Parents don't always pay the closest attention to what their kids' friends think. Veroneau says the findings underline why they should. The study in the Journal of Early Adolescence was supported by the National Institutes of Health. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit, Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. This week, my special guest will be Steve Abramowitz, director of Accelerant. The show is brought to you by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, located on the web at ofplaw.com. For more information on the firm, call us at 703-218-2100.
As cybersecurity threats loom, the federal government's demand for cyber talent is expected to far exceed the nation's supply of qualified professionals, and its ability to compete with the private sector for that scarce talent is increasingly challenged. The cyber talent gap poses a serious threat to America's position as a global power, making it necessary for human capital and cyber experts across government to come together to find current and forward-looking solutions to address this growing issue. We must explore how agencies can cope in this difficult environment by both developing and accessing top-notch cyber professionals and preparing the very best of this talent to lead. Listen to Cyber Hire, Ramping Up the Cyber Workforce, as part of the Booz Allen Hamilton Expert Voices panel series, featuring human capital and cyber experts from across government. Wednesday, February 23rd at 11 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. For more information, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Booz Allen, or visit the Expert Voices blog at boozallen.com/expertvoices.
Hey, Caps fans, make sure you check out the Caps Academy and youth hockey websites at WashingtonCaps.com. These are awesome sites where players, parents, coaches, and fans of all ages can find everything there is to know about hockey, including the basic rules of the game, advanced coaching strategies, and information on youth hockey programs in the D.C. area. You'll also find plenty of instructional videos and tips featuring Caps coaches and players. For all this and more, check out the Caps Academy and youth hockey websites at WashingtonCaps.com.
HCMF Federal Recruitment and Talent Management Strategy Day is a one-day training conference to be held Wednesday, May 4th, 2011 in Washington, D.C. The conference will focus on new opportunities for bringing in top talent to the federal government, such as marketing and brand strategies, investing in employee development, and more. Keynotes will be presented by OPM Director John Barry, as well as presentations from seven other Chief Human Capital Officers. For more information, please visit HCMFRecruitmentDay.com.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Dr. Roy Hinton. He is the Associate Dean of the School of Management at George Mason University, and he is also in charge of the Executive Programs at the School of Management. And Roy, what we're getting into on this segment is that new program. When Kevin Young approached you, he indicated he had a partner. He called me right after I think I had sent in the final draft of my latest book, Selling to the Government, to after I sent it into Wiley. So it was just a totally odd coincidence that he calls and says, let's get together. I want to talk to you about this program. Then we came over and talked to you. And then later on, we met with your partner and boss, Dr. Jorge Haddock, who is dean of the School of Management. And we agreed to pursue a government market master certificate program here. How does that fit into what you're doing? And we'll get into, you know, sort of the breadth and depth in a minute.
Yeah, thanks. We are committed to serving the community. And as you know, that's a significant number of contractors in this area, and of course the government sector, both civilian and military. And this fit in perfectly and provided us an opportunity to work with yourself and Kevin with great expertise in the field and design something that's rigorous and comprehensive and cohesive. So we're excited about this program. And we think it brings a real opportunity for many small businesses and large businesses in the area to participate.
One of the things that I did prior to us approaching you was look around at any offerings at other schools. And oddly enough, there's nothing really similar to this out there.
Nothing at all. You find bits and pieces here and there. And in our research, we tend to see what other options are available before we make commitments, and it was clear that this was filling some gaps.
I know that Dell Tech does a program with you at Mason anyway, on part of this puzzle, and I know that another of our friends, Phil Bond of Tech America, is involved in the somehow with you and Jorge at the School of Management.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Dell Tech works actually with our Office of Continuing and Professional Ed, and they offer a variety of certificates that are well enrolled. And we've been meeting with Phil and some of his colleagues at Ameritech to develop a course and additional curriculum for government and ACT folks in the acquisitions and contracting area. And so the work that we're doing with you and Kevin just supports that perfectly.
I was listening to Tom Temin on Federal News Radio on driving down here today, and that was one of the issues that he was covering today was, you know, the funding that President Obama had asked to support the 1102s, that's the OPM designation for contracting officers in the government. And the education for them has dropped off tremendously, and you know, they need help, they need support, and we need to train a new cadre. So that's a great area for you to involve yourself with, especially with an organization like Tech America.
It is. Phil's been a terrific advocate for this kind of education, and so have his members. You know, one of the things we're taking a look at in that area is based on the federal government CIO having some real interest in rethinking the role of the program manager in government and the career path for the program manager and what can be done to keep all programs in the green area of performance.
I'm assuming green would mean productive and on budget?
Absolutely.
There you go.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the areas that the Government Market Master Program at the School of Management will be covering.
Mm-hmm. Comprehensive program. Key areas of focus are marketing, sales, and business development, and managing a government enterprise.
A little bit about Kevin Young. First of all, my partner in crime when we approached you. Kevin has an extensive career. When I met him, he was with SAIC. He's currently consulting, and we're both now very focused on this program at George Mason. But Kevin has an extensive background, like me, in marketing to the government. And he saw the void in the management level, the C-level, of people coming into the market and really not being versed enough, if you will, to fully grasp the consequences and all of the infrastructure necessary to manage a government enterprise. So when he approached you initially, that was the major thrust of the program.
It was. And then as we continue to explore, we identified even greater needs and greater opportunities for expanding the scope and offer of the program.
Right. So, program, novices, pros, all of the above?
I think all of the above. We'll target different aspects of the content that will serve those different levels. So it doesn't matter if you're just starting. If you're just starting, I would think something like this could save you months, if not years, of getting into this marketplace successfully. And if you're a professional out there, you know, the half-life of content these days, we live in such a dynamic environment, less than 5 years. And so there's always an opportunity to learn more and build skills.
When we were putting this together, the other odd coincidence was the American Express Open Program's three-part study on small businesses entering the government market, and their study showed that it took about 19 and a half months for a small company to win business, but on the investment side, they were investing about $89,000 per calendar year, not just in cash, but in people time, internal resources, etc., in order to gain that. So with a program like this, you really do expedite the learning curve for what you need to know as an executive, and then have your sales, marketing, and business development people adequately trained along the way.
Absolutely.
Okay. And the first sessions we're rolling out in March 9 and March 22. You're going to be. I'm hoping you're going to be at those.
I am.
Okay, that's the government marketing best practices session. And what's the URL for the School of Management? I should know this, but I don't have it.
Yeah, it's som.edu. som.gmu.edu.
Okay, som.gmu.edu. And you can find information on the Government Marketing Best Practices session, the first session for the Government Market Master Program, by going to federaldirect.net and clicking on the yellow star in the middle, and that'll take you to information on the program and the links to the registration pages. Roy, it's been a pleasure, and we'll have you back once this thing gets rolling and get an update.
Thank you, Mark. I really appreciate it. We're delighted to have this opportunity to work in this space. And you've lined up such a great team of participants, speakers, and contributors and faculty for this. I see it as a real winner.
Dr. Roy Hinton, he is the Associate Dean of the School of Management at George Mason University. When I come back, we'll be talking to Lewis Numkin of the Federal Information Systems Security Educators Association. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Do you know someone who's done something outstanding in the field of human capital management? Nominate them for Federal News Radio's second annual Causey Awards. Together, we'll call attention to what may be a best practice in government. Anyone can be nominated, career, political, and contractor, working in the HR field. The award is named after Mike Causey and his lifelong dedication to the reporting of management and federal pay and benefit issues. To nominate someone for the Causey Awards, go to federalnewsradio.com, search award. Do you know someone who's done something outstanding in the field of human capital management? Nominate them for Federal News Radio's second annual Causey Awards. Together, we'll call attention to what may be a best practice in government. Anyone can be nominated, career, political, and contractor, working in the HR field. The award is named after Mike Causey and his lifelong dedication to the reporting of management and federal pay and benefit issues. To nominate someone for the Causey Awards, go to federalnewsradio.com, search award.
Are you a woman between the ages of 35 and 60 with noticeable fine lines and wrinkles? If you answered yes, we're looking for you. We are currently seeking women to try an instant skin-firming serum called Instant Effect. As part of this opportunity, we will send you a free trial of the product, and you may have the chance to appear in a national advertising campaign. To take advantage of this unique opportunity, please call 1-800-500-0365 in the next 10 minutes. Instant Effect is a breakthrough beauty discovery that tightens skin on contact and takes years off your appearance. Simply smooth a lightweight serum on your wrinkles and fine lines and watch as they disappear from view in less than 90 seconds. If you're interested in seeing how young you can look in as little as 90 seconds risk-free, you must call in the next 10 minutes. Instant Effect is now available at Ulta stores, but for this exclusive free radio offer, you must call 1-800-500-0365. Hurry, when this offer's gone, it's gone. 1-800-500-0365.
Hey Eagles fans, tickets to all American University men's and women's basketball home games in Bender Arena are on sale now. Get them online 24/7 at AUEagles.com or by calling the Athletics Ticket Office at 202-885-TIXX. That's 202-885-TIX. Make your plans now to be part of another historic season in Bender Arena.
Catch the Eagles' next home game on Senior Night, Wednesday, February 23rd versus Navy at 7:30 p.m.
For America's wounded warriors, sometimes coming home can be a battle in itself. Every one of them needs our support to meet the challenges they face every day. The USO provides Americans a way to offer that support to our wounded warriors and their families. Join us. Visit USO.org to learn how you can make a difference in their lives. The USO. Until everyone comes home.
Become an extraordinary leader through the Key Executive Leadership Masters of Public Administration program at American University. Taught by faculty at the top-ranked School of Public Affairs, the Key MPA program is designed for working professionals and offers weekend classes to fit your schedule. Learn more at an information session on March 1st. To RSVP, visit spa.american.edu/key.
Profile America, Monday, February 21st. In the past, February has been an important month in the U.S. magazine publishing industry. In 1922, the Reader's Digest appeared for the first time. On this date in 1925, the New Yorker published its first edition. The witty and urbane magazine has featured work by many famous authors and cartoonists. And this month, in 1969, one of the nation's most revered magazines, the Saturday Evening Post, printed its final weekly edition after entertaining and informing Americans for 148 years. Today, the average American spends about $42 a year on magazines and 126 hours reading them. You can find these and more facts about America from the U.S. Census Bureau online at census.gov.
Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My next guest is Lewis Numpkin, who is a lifetime member of FASEA. And this is an odd coincidence, Lewis, because in the first segment I was talking about a new program we're rolling out at George Mason University. And one of the things that I discuss pretty much everywhere I talk is the importance of relationships in the government market. And FSEA is one of the organizations in government that I have been following pretty much my entire career. First of all, give us a little background on you, and then perhaps a little background, a little history for the Federal Information System Security Educators Association.
Well, myself, Mark, I'd like to say good day to your listeners. I'm a retired federal employee. My last office was over at the Internal Revenue Service in New Carrollton. And during the years of my career, I found the majority of them were spent in IT security, computer security at different agencies, starting, earlier with GSA and then to NRC and subsequently to IRS. The area that I got most involved in was awareness, training, and education. And that carried me into a meeting back in, I guess it was probably 1990, of FISEA, the Federal Information System Security Educators Association. The organization was founded just a couple of years before, in 1987, and it was a gathering of peers who were involved in providing awareness, training, and education for their agencies and organizations. It wasn't limited to government employees. We had contractors, we had educators, and we prided ourselves on this interaction between the three spheres, if you will, of these employees. And the organization was strictly volunteer-run. We didn't get paid for doing it. We gave our time and effort to it to make a success. Primarily, at the time, we were putting on one conference a year. Over the years, that's been modified to include workshops. And the most recent workshop, I think, was just a couple of months ago in October. Again, drawing anywhere from, maybe 40 people who are peers within the industry and want to come together for the benefit of each other and for furthering the cause of awareness, training, and education, and now professionalization and even certification.
Okay. Now, it's kind of funny because way back then, I became aware of it for a couple of reasons. Number one, I was advising the National Computer Security Association, Bob Bales and Paul Gates and those guys, David Stang and others, on the marketing side of the security thing. I also did briefly some work with Symantec back then and the early Norton computer security thing. But the funny thing is that it's the computer security has been with us forever, and the FSEA members themselves have been aware of it and working on it for years, but it wasn't until recently that that it became hot enough to actually attract sufficient funds at a higher level.
Well, of course, getting the support of the agencies is a big thing. Our employees, generally, because we have a conference, and that's the only thing that costs any money, is held in March. So you're still finding other uses for funding in agencies, and training of our practitioners is not the high list. Certainly, people put in for the conference, but the point being that oftentimes they're held up until perhaps later in the year before they really get the benefit of leftover funds that hadn't been used. But that is very important to us because it's the only way we have our annual gathering.
And, you know, the gathering itself has always been very modestly priced, both for government professionals and for industries, and this is the 24th annual conference. It's coming up March 15, 16, and 17, right?
Correct.
And it'll be held on campus at the National Institutes of Standards and Technology.
Right. We've returned to NIST this year. We've spent the last couple of years at NIH, and they had a wonderful facility there. But it was determined this year to go back to NIST. We'll be in the main admin building, and for those people who want to attend the conference, of course, the security aspects of being on a government reservation do apply.
Yeah, of course, of course. So, you know, number one, no on-site registration. You got to register ahead of schedule. But we have a couple minutes left in this. So what I'd like you to do is just sort of give an overview of what FISEA members do on a day-to-day basis inside their agencies.
Again, since our primary interest is awareness, training, and education, we're seeking ways of creating opportunities where we can remind our employees in the agencies, in the organizations, that security has to be in the forefront of their mind. We try and bring it from the rear recesses of the mind to the forefront. Awareness has always been there. We've had anything from posters to more modern activities and of course trinkets and giveaway items. Something that FISEA has been running for a number of years under the tutelage of one of our executive board members is a contest for these sorts of things. And so what the employees do in their agencies every day can be awarded a prize, if you will, a plaque during the FISEA conference, that being for items such as awareness tools. Anything that they feel they've used in their agency that's worthy of note and worthy of emulation can be judged by the organization and provided a suitable award. So awareness is the foundation block on which we then build training, and then subsequent after that is education. And, of course, over the recent years since FISMA, or GISRA before that, we have found that training and education are more secure, more severely needed in agencies. We've got to take people out of the sandbox and really give them an understanding of what security means and why such things have to be imbued in our day-to-day work. So that's the job of our practitioners, and oftentimes it's not a primary job, but an auxiliary or an auxiliary-type job where they're doing a task instead of having it as a career. I was fortunate enough in my, I'd say, last 13 years of employment that it became my primary functionary. And I was able to offer that to my agencies. The creativity of the practitioner is very important. And that goes for not only the awareness aspect, where you're trying to grab the attention of the employee and wake them up to something, to the training and the educational aspects. Subsequently, when we get into professionalization, we get into certification, those areas that FISEA has gotten into more recently, we are looking at the professionalization, as I say, bringing our core into a realm where it really is a respected activity and something that people strive to get involved in.
Okay. We're going to take a break. My guest is Lewis Numkin. He is a lifetime member of FISEA. When we come back, we're going to talk more specifically about the March FISEA conference, the 24th annual FISEA conference. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. For example, if you have a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you're going to end up paying over $400,000 after interest. That's almost a quarter of $1 million that you could be putting into your pocket instead of the bank's. I want to send you a powerful free CD to show you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. That's right. No credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. It's easy. It works.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
Stop getting robbed of your money and your future. Call now and I'll rush you a free CD today. Call 1-800-500-2884. For your free CD, call 1-800-500-2884. 1-800-500-2884.
Join Jim Fleisig on March 1st at 12 noon for his monthly series, The Federal Executive Forum. This month will be a Department of Homeland Security CIO Roundtable, live from the 2011 AFSEA Homeland Security Conference. Jim's guests will be from DHS, NPPD, TSA, and CIS. Don't miss the Federal Executive Forum, Tuesday, March 1st, 12 noon, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and on federalnewsradio.com. Sponsored by the AFSEA Homeland Security Conference and Solution Series.
Do you know someone who's done something outstanding in the field of human capital management? Nominate them for Federal News Radio's second annual Causey Awards. Together, we'll call attention to what may be a best practice in government. Anyone can be nominated, career, political, and contractor, working in the HR field. The award is named after Mike Causey and his lifelong dedication to the reporting of management and federal pay and benefit issues. To nominate someone for the Causey Awards, go to federalnewsradio.com, search award.
Arming your home security system gives you peace of mind. But are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in home monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems and pay just $18.95 a month, and there's no cost to switch. Why Ackerman? Ackerman has over 40 years of industry-leading experience. Ackerman monitors your home from its UL and CSAA 5 Diamond Certified Monitoring Center. Ackerman was recently recognized as the National Dealer of the Year from over 30,000 companies. Get the most qualified professionals monitoring your home for just $18.95 per month. And Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Over 180,000 people enjoy peace of mind with Ackerman. Federal employees call today and get 4 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service. Call 888-999-1070, 888-999-1070, or visit AckermanSecurity.com.
The following statement has been authorized by Credit Guard of America. A nonprofit national helpline has been established to assist members of the public struggling with credit card debt. If you owe $2,000 or more to the credit card companies and are seeking relief, you are invited to call the toll-free helpline now for free information, 1-800-300-3320. This service is provided by Credit Guard of America, a nonprofit organization. The free helpline offers programs that allow you to cut your payments by up to half of what you're currently paying and reduce your debt to much less than you owe. Call the toll-free helpline now for free information at 1-800-300-3320. Again, a nonprofit national helpline has been established to assist members of the public struggling with credit card debt of $2,000 or more. Members of the public wanting to learn how to get debt-free and stay debt-free are urged to call the National Toll-Free Helpline now for free information and assistance at 1-800-300-3320. That's 1-800-300-3320.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything, boys, school, clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If it were real heart-to-heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
I'd probably talk to him about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart-to-heart. I just want to talk.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Wake up and drive in with Tom Temin and Amy Morris on The Federal Drive. It's your early line on the day ahead from your trusted advisors. Tom and Amy give you a full view of the issues. Find out what your colleagues in other agencies are up to and what policy and congressional developments mean to you. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest is Lewis Numkin, who is a lifetime member of FSEA. Lewis is a retired Fed, but FSEA, for those who did not catch the last portion, is the Federal Information System Security Educators Association, founded in 1987, and in March 15, 16, and 17, we have the 24th annual conference for FSEA. Before we get into the conference itself, Lewis, I'd like to very briefly go over one of the parts of the programs that I've always really liked. The contest used to be to make, you know, the awareness portion of the contest was posters. And your members came up with some extraordinary in-agency signage.
I agree. I've been enamored with it myself over the years and helped to create a few that I thought were award winners, so I don't think we ever did win the prize for them.
Many to choose from.
Sir? But then one of the things that I would say is that we again have volunteer judges within the organization who remain anonymous, and they do the selection process. So anything submitted... And that's in the form of posters. This year we actually have five different categories for submission for award. That includes the awareness poster, motivational items like trinkets, pens, stress relief items, T-shirts, awareness websites, awareness newsletters, and lastly, role-based training and education. This category is going to... be there and as another judgeable area for FSEA. Now, what they end up with, the winner receives a handsome plaque to take back to their agency, and of course, all the adulation of the crowd that's attending the conference. Usually, we do get a pretty good selection of entries, and I know that this radio show is going to be on a couple days past the closing for these awards, or for the submission. But what I would propose is if an individual has something and they hear about this today that they wish to submit, I do would encourage them to go ahead and submit it and let them know that they only just found out about it here on the Amtower Off Center show. The HTTP FSEA.org address is where they should send their entries. And we encourage the use of slides, PowerPoint slides, to depict the images. We don't want them to send the actual trinkets in. Although if they come to conference, we encourage them to bring them for the usual trading that goes on while we're there. But 10 slides. Should be mailed, and there's an entry form that's located at FSEA-contest@nist.gov. And then that'll get in, and one of our good troopers will be taking it and hopefully responding successfully for him.
Cool. Now let's get into a little bit of the scope of the 24th annual conference. What are the big topics this year?
Well, starting with just the title of the conference, Bridging to the Future, Emerging Trends in Cybersecurity. Pretty much a generic statement, but that is exactly what we're trying to do, is to look to the future and say, how can we impact on the future? How can we get people more involved from a security standpoint, protecting their agencies, their own information, et cetera? Because everything that we do not only relates to their workplace, but also to their home place. We're going to be having, and again, Mark, I'd like to impress upon our the listeners that this conference is certainly the best bang for the buck in the security industry as a whole. Registration fee this year is $232, and that includes lunches and breaks for the 3 days. I don't think you can beat it.
I agree. That's a tremendously low cost.
Which is where we come from in a volunteer organization. And again, we look for sponsorship in various ways. As Mark, you're aware, we do have an exhibitor show as well where vendors can come and show their wares to our attendees and other NIST people that are in the area. And that'll be taking place on one day during the conference as well.
I believe that's the 16th. And for those who don't know, I mean, it's not just the attenders of the conference that'll be meandering through there, but literally anybody on campus, any federal employee on campus at NIST can attend the exhibits. Is that right?
That is correct. And we want them to know that the types of exhibits that are there, their awareness and training ideas, resources, it gives you contact points and peerage, again, where you can network. One thing that we've prided ourselves on in FICEA all the years that I've been attentive and a part of it is that we are a networking organization, and our members don't pay any membership, but they want to be members. They share ideas both during the conference and then throughout the year. The activities that will be going on, of course, we'll have door prizes as well. If any of your listeners are with organizations who want to provide door prizes, they can get in touch with us. These are given out throughout the conference to our attendees. Some of them are really quite nice in the past. I trust we'll have a similar realm this year. As for the individuals who we want or who we encourage to attend, it's the practitioners and the managers of the practitioners who gain the most from this. And we include in that, of course, CISO staff, any ISSOs or ISOs that are out there, the IT managers. But take it down to the practitioners, those people who are actually developing the curriculum for training courses, the real people who are on the lectures. Doing the training in cybersecurity, the teachers, the instruction designers, and anybody who's interested in that being the educators who are out there, members of the university, faculties, etc., who are interested in creating coursework for our types of practitioners. Those are the people we're seeking to get there. When that vendor day does come, the Federal Business Council is the one that runs that, not NIST, not a federal government agency.
Right.
And therefore, there should be no appearance of favoritism here. The Federal Business Council can be reached at fbcinc.com.
Right.
And they have a person there, Nicole McCracken, and I'll give her a little shout out here. Her number is 800-878-2940, extension 283.
I know Nicole. She's very cool.
In the event people do want to get involved in that vendor display day.
And again, you know, for the exhibitors, you know, this is open to the entire NIST campus. And these are, you know, some marvelous technological experts out there.
That's correct. For the actual conference itself, and now not to shortchange your audience in understanding that, we'll have a keynote. Ernest McDuffie from NIST is going to be doing the keynote, an overview of the National Initiative for Cybersecurity Education. This is something very current. Agencies do need to be aware of, and we're encouraging all agencies to be there, if not for the whole conference, then certainly to catch some of these major presentations. NICE, which is its acronym, will also be then featuring a component panel thereafter, and other programming throughout the two-track conference along this line. Other speakers come in from universities around the country and other agencies. You know, we're looking as basic presentations that relate to awareness specific for those who are practitioners in that arena, to the ISS LOB Tier 1, Tier 2 presentations that are so very important to our FISMA efforts as well in the agencies.
Great. Lewis, I really appreciate your time. I'm certainly hoping that a lot of both govies and industry meet on March 15, 16, and 17 at the conference. Thank you again for taking time this morning to join me.
No problem, Mark. It's been a pleasure. I'd just like to mention one other quick note, and that is the first evening we do have a dinner get-together. It's at the individual's expense, but it's always a great networking opportunity that's proved to be successful over the years.
There you go. Networking, it's all about relationships. Lewis, again, thank you.
You're most welcome.
You've been listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guests have been Lewis Numpkin, lifetime member of FICEA, and Dr. Roy Hinton, the Associate Dean of the School of Management at George Mason University. This is not